When the gospel writer Luke sat down to write the story of Jesus' life and ministry, he did so because he had come to realize that he was part of a much bigger story. He knew that many had undertaken to draw up an account of the things that had happened in his day, yet he tells us in the beginning of his account that he felt compelled to do his own careful investigation and write down his own orderly account, because he knew that if people understood the larger story of what God was doing in Jesus and their part in it, they would be changed forever. The shepherds are a case in point. Before the angel's surprise visit on that first Christmas, the shepherds had probably never thought much about being part of a really big story. Like most people, they were probably focusing on the day-to-day routines. They knew what their main purpose in life was, to look after sheep. Oh, given the way that things worked in the world, they probably came from a very long line of shepherds. I know people that are familiar with biblical story of David as the former shepherd tend to think of shepherds and their occupation in a positive, respectable light. But among ancient Jewish writings discovered in the last century, there are lists, not grocery lists, but lists of various occupations that include lists of despised trades. I can see a Jewish father, you know, saying to his kids, "Oh, kids, go to school, work harder, or you may end up as a gambler, a dung collector, yes, or a shepherd." They're all on the list. Now, of course, it is possible, some would say likely, that these particular shepherds in Luke's story were the ones who supplied the sheep and the lambs for the daily sacrifices in the great temple of Jerusalem, only a few miles away. But you know what? They were still shepherds. Which makes it all the more interesting why God would put these guys first in line to hear the good news. I mean, when our first child was born, the people at the top of our contact list were, you know, for the good news, were family, best friends, a pastor was up there somewhere, the neighborhood, not the janitor at the local hardware store. But in Luke, it was the shepherds, the guys on the despised trades list. For some strange reason, it was to the shepherds, the ones who got stuck sleeping out in the cold with the sheep on the night shift. It was those shepherds that the angels were first sent to. They received the news, the good news of great joy. You know, the words "good news" had serious political overtones in their day. It was the public term used, well, it was used for headline-type political announcements made by Roman emperors especially. For example, when they would win an important military victory, the emperor would send out messengers to announce the good news. Caesar Augustus, for example, that plays a prominent role in verse 1 of Luke chapter 2. Well, he was ruling at this time, and he put his good news on an inscription that archaeologists have found in Mira Lycia. And it says, "Divine Caesar Augustus, son of God, imperator of land and sea, the benefactor and savior of the whole world, has brought you peace." Did you catch that part about Caesar claiming to be the son of God, the savior of the whole world, and bringing peace? Compare that with the angel's announcement that God's good news of great joy will be for all people, and that the one born in their little town of Bethlehem is Savior and Lord. Combine that with a great company of the heavenly armies. Yes, the word translated host in many Bibles is literally the armies, the troops of heaven, announcing peace, and it becomes clear that the shepherds were part of a much bigger and better story than any of them ever realized before. Good news for the rich and powerful, that was common. But good news of great joy for people like them, a Savior who came wrapped in the kind of ordinary rags they wore, born in a town they lived in, placed in the only kind of crib that some of them could afford. This was good news, great joy. That these shepherds should find themselves on the top of God's guest list must have seemed too good to be true. No wonder they nearly fell over themselves, the sense is in Luke. They're rushing to find out if what they heard is really true. Were they really welcome participants in this God-orchestrated story of saving the world? I wonder what their initial reaction was when they made their way to the manger and found out it was really true. Did they laugh at how lucky they were? Or some of them trying not to show that they were holding back tears? Did some of them pinch themselves to make sure it wasn't just a dream? You know, there's a beautiful story recounted every Christmas in the forests of Provence in southern France. It's about four shepherds who came to Bethlehem to see the child. One brought eggs. Yes, he had the grocery list. Another bread and cheese. The third brought wine. And the fourth brought nothing at all. People called him La Chanté. The first three shepherds chatted with Mary and Joseph, commenting on how well Mary looked and how cozy the cave was and how wonderfully Jacob had, you know, decorated it as best he could and what a beautiful starlit night it was. And they congratulated the proud parents, presented them with gifts, and assured them if they needed anything else, all they needed to do was just ask. Finally, someone asked, "Where's La Chanté?" They searched high and low, up and down, inside and out. Finally, someone peeked through the blanket, hung over the opening to keep the draft away from the cradle. And there, kneeling at the crib, was La Chanté, the enchanted one. Like a flag or a flame that takes the direction of the wind, he had taken the direction of love. Throughout the entire night, he stayed in adoration, whispering, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Have you found the treasure the shepherds found in Bethlehem? How many of us, if asked what we most want for Christmas, would say, "I want Jesus. I want the gift of Jesus' presence unleashed in my life." Blessed are those who do, for you will know the joy that those shepherds knew on that night. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you brought real good news of great joy, not just for some people, and not just back then, but good news of great joy that would be for all people, at all places and all times. Lord, we thank you that you invite us to experience the greatest gift of all, to have the living presence of Christ come and take root in our hearts. As we open up our hearts to you and say, "Come, be the center of our life." Maybe, Lord, for some, you were once the center and somehow got displaced by the busyness, by other attractions. And it's time to come back home, home at the foot of the cradle and of the cross, and to know you as the one who is the great pearl above all prices that could be had, the greatest gift of all. Lord, we pray that the joy to the world that has come that we sing about, Lord, that we would open up our hearts this day anew to you, and that we would know the joy that those shepherds knew. Amen.